seen Ryan play a better game in the 2 years you coached him?
Let's see. That was pretty near the top. I don't know if that was the best, but it was pretty near the top. His decision making was excellent. His composure, made some big time throws in critical situations. So I'd say that have to be, particularly considering the opponent, that would have to be up the top, I guess.
Like, how about some of the ball placement that he's able to do on the two throws to Rashard at the end of the first half, and at the end of the game, and even the one that the thick pin? Those aren't just sharp type throws.
Right, no, there's some throws he had to put a lot on it, and the other throws he had to take some stuff off, and, he made some really, really nice throws at the appropriate time. And our guys stepped up and made some plays, too. They were able to get the edge on the defender and create some space, and Ryan put it in a spot where he had to put it.
Mike, when you look at how far you've gone on the roster, whether it's Sam Brenner, Nate Garner, Charles Clay, Rashard Matthews, what does this tell you about the depth and the quality of player that's on the offensive side there?
Well, we're a little thin, actually, on the offensive line right now. So that's still a concern for us as we continue to work with that group. Going into this season, I didn't really consider Charles Clay anything but a starter. I mean, I thought he would assume that role with Keller and certain packages with Keller and certain packages certainly with Clay, but I considered this year to be his coming out year. I thought he started it last year before his injury. Rashard Matthews is a guy that came on at the end of last year as well. He was playing in some games for us and played well. Got hurt early in the season and in camp, and but he's starting to come into his own just a little bit. So I'm excited about those guys.
Brenner particularly,
Well, Nate really backs up. He's a jack of all trades. He's the only guy that I've ever been around that can back up center, both guards and both tackle positions. So, it allows him an opportunity to practice those positions. And Brenner can just focus in on the one position and get his reps there. So, and Sam played fairly well in the last ball game. So, we thought we'd go that direction.
Coach, can you go through your mindset on the 4th and 5 play that ended up going to Clay? What was your thinking on the play and calling the play, and how did you observe what transpired?
Well, it really came about because Joe said, hey, we're going to go for it on 4th down. So on the play previously, we ran a 3 verticals and brought Hartline in the back door to get the yardage we had to get to that 4th and 5. We had a long distance to go. And so Hartline made a great play, and I forget the yardage he picked up, 11, 12 yards over the ball. That play set up the 4th down play, so that was really a critical play for us. On the 4th down call, to be honest with you, earlier in the game, Jeff Nixon had said, hey, how about that screen to Clay? And then I hadn't run it yet. They had played Talib on him. A few times, so I had a little bit of a concern at that point. And then when the time came, Zach Taylor actually recommended, hey, well, how about the screen again? So it took me a couple of shots for someone to recommend it to me. I said, yeah, now it's about as good as any, I guess. So I felt comfortable with it at that point and held my breath. And he made a play. The quarterback, the throw wasn't perfect, but it was put only in a position where he could make the throw. I mean, there was a rush. We're releasing Claybo off the edge to block outside, and so the rush came right on Tannehill. So he had where he put the ball was the only spot he could put the ball. It wasn't in a perfect spot. And here you have a guy just making a play. Tannehill made a play, get him the ball, and then you had Clay adjusting to the ball. But we had some great blocks on that play. Sims came out and knocked the corner off. Claybo came out, made a great block, and Mike Pouncey made a great block. So, and then Clay did a lot with the play as well. So that was a player's play. They all participated in that and made that work, and certainly a critical play in the game. But that could have very easily been a dead play. It's a play that they made work and got us in a position where we could win the football game.
Mike, when you look at the 2-minute hurry-up offense, it's been consistently good all season, whether, Indy at, first half,
sure.
Atlanta, Pittsburgh, New England. Why? What about Tannehill and what about the whole offense works so well?
Well, I think it starts with It starts with the quarterback. They see a very consistent, composed, confident guy at quarterback. There's never any panic. When they take the field in 2 minutes, they feel like they're going to have success. The receivers, the quarterback, the backs, the line, they all together feel like this is our drill, you know. So I think it starts with the demeanor and the mentality of the quarterback. And the other part of it is, got to give Joe credit, we practice it a lot, and we practice our two-minute situations quite a bit. And so the repetitions that we get in practice against our defense certainly have helped us grow. There was a time we couldn't move the ball worth a lick, and we would never win the drill. And then we just kept getting better and better and more confident in the drill through OTAs and mini camps. And I think the guys are in a position now that when we do take a two-minute, whether it's the end of the half or the end of the game, that we're going to score. So I think our preparation, our repetition, and our players just have a lot of confidence in each other when we are in that drill. So I think that helps us.
So why not run it like a hurry up more often or a lot?
Well, it's a minimal package that you run. You can't communicate every play in your offense in your two-minute offense. You lose all your play action, your play pass, your movements, and you just can't communicate everything in that. So it's strictly a, pretty much if you want to pass the ball all the time, you could do it. But, to employ other parts of the offense, it's beyond the 2 minute.
Mike, after the 24-yard completion to Matthews on that last drive, knowing who's on the other side of the field is Tom Brady, is there any thought in taking off more clock or trying to come up with some more running plays or even less time? Is that injured your mind?
Obviously it enters your mind who's on the other side of the field, but at the same time, we had to do something to get ourselves, the clock was an issue for us as well, so not enough time or too much time for them, and so not enough time for us or too much time for them. So when you're calling plays, you can't call plays hoping you don't score a touchdown, on a particular play. And so on that play, I watched them on this morning. I watched them. They scored on a very similar play on the great catch in the end zone. It's a very similar play. They threw it to their tight end. We threw it to our back. But Thigpen made a great play on the ball. Quarterback made a great throw, put it in the only position he could have had put it. And we're able to score. You certainly don't want to give them time on the clock. But in that situation, the last time at the end of the half, I thought one of the best two-minute drills we've ever had was against them up in New England at the end of the half. And we ran the ball about four or five times, took time on the clock, and left them with 30 seconds. That was a different situation, which we could settle for a field goal if we didn't get it. It was the end of the half. We had to score, and so it was critical that we put the ball in the best way we can when we could. And, ideally you would rather not have time on the clock.
Mike, I have a question. You've been around this league a long time.
So they tell me.
Longer than I have. Can you reflect on the opportunity you guys have in front of you now? Two games, basically.
I look at it a little bit differently. I don't think that far ahead, and I'm not smart enough to think down the road. My wife doesn't believe me when I say, I don't think about next week. I said, I'm just dealing with, she asked me about what 2 weeks from now. It's 2 weeks from now. It's a lifetime, two lifetimes. I said, I can only deal with today. What do you want today? I can't plan 2 weeks ahead. I plan 1 week at a time. That's one thing about the NFL. We will play that game at 1 o'clock. You come hell or high water. There's no delay in it. There's no filibuster. There's nothing. So I don't think that far ahead. So right now, and I'm not just trying to avoid the question, I'm thinking just of Buffalo. But my point being, early in the season, I told the players this the other day, Saturday, we had a similar opportunity early in the season against New Orleans. We were 3-0, had a chance on Monday Night Football to really have a statement game against New Orleans. And I said, we let an opportunity slip by because I still feel like we had a chance in that ball game, even though the score didn't indicate such. I felt like we were moving the ball. We did some good things, particularly in that first half. I said we let an opportunity slip through our fingers, and this is another opportunity like that one. This opportunity exists for us to be able to go out there against a really good football team and have us make some noise. And that's all we're doing right now. We're making noise. That's about it. We're just, you know, playing as hard as we can play and coach as hard as we can coach, and we take it one day at a time. And however it ends up. But we enjoy each victory as we move ahead. Joe always talks about let's be 1-0 every week, and that's kind of the mentality that our guys have embraced. I don't think anybody's I have not heard any word of anything other than just 1-0 in our locker room. It's strictly a 1-0 philosophy, and I think that's the way it should be. I don't think we can handle much more than that. I think we have to deal with the present, and that's what we'll do.
I have a question about it. I've been trying to ask a question for a while, the whole time I've been trying to ask questions. I've been trying for like the last 4 years to ask.
What is your video eyeglasses?
I'm just wondering about development of two players. You talked about Tannehill this past week, how he's done well, but just the last few weeks, the evolution of his game. Mike Wallace as well. I know you said from the beginning he's been doing a lot of things, but statistically we're seeing it more now.
Yeah, you know, Mike's played well. I mean, you know, because he's allowed other people to make some plays, and the other day, his opportunities came up. They decided to defend us a certain way, and some opportunities came his way, and he took full advantage of them. He played at a very high level, made some very, very spectacular plays. Also, did things beyond the catching and the running. He just played well, played aggressive, had a lot of emotion on the sideline, and I thought he really ignited us as an offense. And so, I can't say enough about what he did. The evolution of Tannehill, you know, he's a work in progress. I mean, he tries to get better every single week. He's very consistent. He's like our head coach in many ways. He's very even demeanor. You know, he doesn't get too high, doesn't get low. Just takes it all in and moves forward and takes it in stride. And you know, he's excited about winning this last ball game. I think it was a great game to win, but he'll file that away. Okay, what do we got to do this week? What's the game plan? You know, and that's just the way he is. And he definitely deals like we all pretty much do in one game at a time mentality, and we'll take them as they go. So I think that's probably his strength. But he is, you know, I think his consistency has been just, you know, here's a guy that came out of college, hadn't played a whole lot of major college football at the quarterback position. I don't know about what his head coach was thinking, but he was playing. They say he was playing receiver one time, and I can't even believe that. But but anyways, that's a pretty good shot there. But I did tell Tannehill the other day. I said, you know, because he was defining a route to a receiver, and I said, you know, your head coach is pretty smart to put your receiver, because now you can talk to receivers about running routes and how to run a route and how to fit up and how to take the steps, how to turn back to the quarterback and so forth. So I said he was a pretty smart guy, wasn't he? I don't know if you agree with me on that.